Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This is TWiT Photo, episode number 49, recorded on Tuesday, March 20th, 2012. Peter Croak.
TWiT Photo is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 30% off your new account for 3 months, go to Squarespace.com. Use the offer code TWITPHOTO3. It's time for TWiT Photo. Somebody said in the chat room, the best show on TWiT. Well, it's certainly one of my favorites because we get to meet really great photographers, talk about their art, their technique, their style, and learn, and then look at great pictures all the time. Let's introduce our TWiT Photo host, Catherine Hall, a great photopher, in her own right at CatherineHall.net.
Hello, Leo.
In fact, if it weren't for you, we wouldn't get all these great photographers.
Well,
because
thank you.
You know who's good. You know who's the best in the business. I was so embarrassed. Last night I did Trey's Variety Hour.
Yes.
And they had such good photographers on. They had a streak photographer. What was his name, Tony? Eric?
Eric Kim.
Kim, do you know him?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Really great. Teresa was on. Teresa, I can't remember her last name. But anyway, so they had some really great photographers on. And then Trey did a very mean thing. Andy Anako and I were on. He said, would you show us some of your photos? And it was like, no. First I said, no. I am humiliated. I will not. Eric is an amazing street photographer. Well, they eventually talked me into it, and I showed some.
So if people want to see your photos, they can...
If you go to Leoville, my blog, I have a link to my smug mug, which has, you know, a lot of photos on it. But a lot of them are just, you know, for fun. But some of the photos are from a little trip you and I took to Tasmania. How many years ago was that now? Three or four years.
Oh, my gosh. We're coming on 4 years.
And that's where we met this guy, our guest of the week.
Our guest of the week, who's been a photographer for almost 30 years now.
Peter Croak is here. And he really blew me away in Tasmania because he was so creative and experimental, took such interesting chances and got amazing images. Peter, it's great to see you again.
Yeah, thanks for coming. It's nice to see you in the U.S.
Yeah, well, it's really great to be here and wonderful to be back in California and up here in the TWiT studios, which are just gorgeous.
We're glad to have you. Thank you.
And he's going to be doing, we have a special treat today.
Oh, yeah?
You know that Peter does alpha testing for Adobe. And he's going to do a little Lightroom demo for us.
Good. The new Lightroom's out. And
yep.
I'm really excited.
Yeah,
we had Scott Kelby on a couple of weeks ago. And we asked him, what's new? He said, oh, it's just great. And that was it. So I want some details.
Okay. We got some details.
Nuts.
I need to know. I bought it.
Nuts and bolts here.
I bought it immediately, but I want to know.
Potatoes.
Yeah. That was what...
Nuts and bolts.
Potatoes.
We'll have both.
There we go.
Yeah.
When we were in Tasmania, that was the reason we were there. Mikkel Olin was writing his Adobe Lightroom book. And that was that was Lightroom 2. Lightroom 2
yes,
adventure.
It was.
So we've come a little bit of a ways.
Yes, we have, and there's been no other trips.
So no, unfortunately.
You should get on that, Peter.
Yeah, well,
you could pull that.
Yeah,
off.
No, I think that's a Mikkel thing.
He loves
Mikkel
it.
Mikkel has the special magic.
Now Mikkel's into Nordic Light.
Yeah.
So, which is also an amazing.
So when I go to petercroak.com, I see portraits, I see landscapes, I see panoramas, I see Halloween. What kind of photographer are you?
Well, really, I do kind of a little bit of everything, although primarily I'd say the thing that I love to do more than anything else is photograph people.
Yeah.
I love shooting landscapes, I love shooting architecture and all that other stuff, but the thing I really, really enjoy is shooting people. And 30 years, you know, in working in a market like Washington, you end up doing a lot of different kinds of things. And so I've done a lot of different stuff. A huge amount of it these days, of course, is talking to people about digital photography and how it works.
Well, that's the other thing. You're a great educator, and you wrote the damn book.
Indeed, I did.
And I mean
two
it.
Of them.
And your ears must burn every time I do the radio show because I constantly tell people about your 3-2-1 backup strategy. What is the damn book about?
Well, DAM, of course, stands for Digital Asset Management, and it is basically a description of how to understand workflow and sort of the whole digital photography ecosystem, from storage to how to sort and organize your pictures to then how to design a workflow on top of it. And
it's a big thing for pros, but yeah. But even now, we amateurs who take a lot of photos thanks to digital photography, we've got to do something about managing these thousands of images.
Well, yeah, that's actually one of the things I wanted to talk to you about. I think so many amateurs are out there, or aspiring pros, or just enthusiasts, getting these huge collections.
Yeah.
And not knowing where to put them, not knowing how to sort them. So how what you do and what you teach, how is that applicable to non-pros? And
yeah.
What are things that they can do to keep their stuff organized?
Well, you know, we're fortunate that we're now in a world where there are actually a couple of great tools that work well and are affordable for the amateur market, or the, you know, hobbyist, enthusiast market, is on up to the pros. And, you know, the two main ones are Lightroom and Aperture. And the great thing about those is that they work as both a library and management system, as well as a place that you can do almost all the adjustment work you need to make your pictures look right.
It's kind of like a one-stop shop. You were a big Expression Studio fan a few years back, but Microsoft bought it. It went through changes. Microsoft sold it.
Yeah.
Is it no longer the tool that it was?
Well, you know, originally it was iView Media Pro.
Right.
And then Microsoft bought it, but it was never really part of the Expression Studio, which was a different sort of product. It
That's
was Expression Media.
Yeah.
And they ultimately have sold it to Phase One. And I think that's a good fit there. Phase One, of course, builds really beautiful high-end cameras and has the Capture One software, which is, you know, many professionals consider that to be the best, or among the best for skin tones, particularly
yeah.
for the fashion market. And so it's a great application for managing your images, but moving to a multi-application workflow is definitely harder than doing it all in one place.
Right.
And if you can do it all in one place and that works for you, great.
One place.
One place. Yeah, one application.
Keep it simple, stupid.
Yeah, yep.
My only problem is I have both Aperture and Lightroom because I can never decide. I love Aperture.
Oh, do you go back and forth?
I go back and forth, and I'll talk to people who say, I like how Apple's RAW processes images better than Adobe Camera Raw, and then I'll talk to people who say, oh no, Adobe Camera Raw is so much better.
Yeah.
So that's obviously a matter of taste.
Yes, that's personal preference entirely.
But what is the thing? What's the big difference?
The big difference is it's like, picking up a Nikon or a Canon, and
right.
like which one feels like the controls are in the right place and like makes the picture you want to have made.
But what Leo's talking about, the quality difference from going, is that a myth?
It's subjective. It's about taste.
And some people say they like Apple's skin tones better.
Yeah.
Skin tones are tough, right? Obviously.
Yeah.
So maybe that's a point of distinction. I don't know.
Well, and for all those, an important learning curve and understanding what the tool does and how to use it.
Yeah, I'm such an amateur
and
that it's all the same to me. It knocks nicks. But, you know, what happened was Apple put Aperture in the App Store and dropped the price to like $80.
Yeah.
And so I said, well, I have to buy it now. I'd already bought the $300 version. I said, I have to buy it now. And now I notice Adobe is responding to that. They dropped the price, both the upgrade price and the regular price of Lightroom.
Yeah.
So that's good for us. The choice is
absolutely
a little easier now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it may be a harder choice.
It's harder because it's cheaper, but you can buy both.
You can, yeah. So my friend John Beardsworth likes to say you can, you know, date your RAW file processor, but you kind of have to be married to your asset manager.
Ah, and that's a good point.
Being married to two at once is
not
a recipe
good.
For heartache. So,
yeah. So,
you know,
so explain to everyone out there
what I mean by that.
What you mean by asset manager.
Well, and then give us some workflow.
So the issue
is that
if you have this, you know, catalog environment that you're organizing your pictures in, that work is all sort of in the catalog. You can more easily with Lightroom export it back so that it can be seen by other programs, but really you're meant to do that work in the software itself. And so the organizational work you do over here can't necessarily be seen over here. So if you have the experience of, hey, didn't I organize these pictures and develop them and get them all, you know, perfect over here, and next time I open it up, none of that work is there? Well, that's because maybe you did one bit of work over here and another bit of work over here, and that's just going to be a recipe for confusion and unhappiness.
So I want you to tell me how to manage my photos. Just tell me.
Yeah.
Don't give me choices.
Just tell me.
Just tell me what to do.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. Well, so I can actually do better than just tell you. I can give you a website that has sort of a three-hour movie-based workflow. It's all totally free and online. And you know, really the key to the whole thing is you put all your pictures away in a really simple structure and then do all your management and sorting and tagging of your images all in one big catalog and you know, keep it really simple.
Are you talking about dpbestflow.org?
Actually, I'm talking about a different project. This
is one you did with the ASMP.
Yeah,
which
Peter doesn't
I have
sleep.
Referred people to many times. This is where the 3-2-1 backup is. Yeah. But what is this other site?
So this other one's called Shuta, Shutha.org. And this was funded by World Press Photo, which, for those who don't know, is like the Pulitzers for the rest of the world. And if you go under Workflow, Lightroom Workflow there,
How much? No.
It's 100% free.
What?
All of these movies.
It's also not there.
Grab it out of the flyout menu.
Yeah,
there.
Maybe that's a better way to do it.
And,
yeah.
And I'll have to.
Is this a new site that you're working on?
So go to Workflow, mouse over that, and then
go to Lightroom.
And then mouse over
there
Lightroom Workflow, and then...
There we go.
And now you're in it.
Oh, I am going to learn this. This is great.
So really, this whole thing goes start to finish through... Starting with an understanding of what Lightroom is, based in a movie, and like a 20-minute movie tells you what it is. And then it just goes through step by step, a whole workflow, and shows what all the tools do.
So what is Lightroom?
Lightroom is a program from Adobe, now called Adobe Photoshop Lightroom, that's built as an environment for your whole digital photography collection.
Mm.
To organize it, preserve it, they call it develop, to make the pictures look the way you want, and then to output, to print, or slideshow, or web gallery, or books now.
I found I can use Lightroom entirely. I don't have to use Photoshop at all.
Yeah.
I like the idea of not having... But it will launch Photoshop if I wanted to use Photoshop's HDR tool or Panorama tool or maybe, you know, some photo retouching. I could do that. But I think Lightroom is so complete now that you could do everything in there pretty much.
I think the power
You're
of
Lightroom
it is pretty
user,
amazing.
Aren't you?
Yeah, I love Lightroom.
Yeah.
But what about... I mean, so you have so many images. It's not realistic to have them all in the same catalog. Do you have... different catalogs for different jobs? Like, how do you know how to sort those things?
Yeah, great question. If everything can fit in one catalog, it should. And
you don't worry about it getting too ginormous.
Well, there's no hard limit to the size. You know, I know people that have literally, you know, a million pictures in a Lightroom catalog.
A million? Wow.
But I would think that would get kind of cumbersome to use and slow. So it depends on how big your collection is. But, you know, if there's a photographer out there with, you know, 10,000, 50,000 pictures total, one Lightroom catalog, just do it like that.
And then, now, the problem, of course, is if you have 50,000 pictures, you don't want to store them all on your hard drive, right? So do you take some, put them on an external drive, and put that in the closet? How do you manage that?
Well, you know, hard drives are cheap, and so I think for people who are serious photographers, it really does make sense to set up dedicated storage. Just for, you know,
a big
photo library
or something like that.
Yeah. Yeah, if it can be just one single drive, that's great. Adrobo is a great choice. Mm-hmm. There's a bunch of other different solutions out there.
And so you keep it online all the time.
Yeah, and by online it means it's on spinning disk in my studio.
Right.
Literally, I can sit in bed and pull out a laptop and find any digital picture I've ever shot within seconds usually.
Well, if you can do it. Then I can do it because you shoot more pictures than any human, normal human.
Well, I shoot a lot. Yeah,
we did that when we came back from Tasmania. We were there for 10 days, almost 2 weeks, and we compared. You know, Bruce Dale. I took 6,000 shots. Bruce maybe took five or 6,000. And then who was the guy who shot? Was a view camera guy shot the big format?
Oh yeah, Charlie Crane.
Charlie. He shot like. 1,000
500.
He shot very few.
But they were really big.
But each of them
really
was
great.
Beautiful. Yeah. So it didn't matter. Yeah. And you shot more than anyone. I mean, you shoot a lot.
Yeah. I mean, you know, part of that is trying to give myself the challenge to see if what I'm saying, does this really work?
You experiment a lot.
Yeah. I mean,
you're very
experimental. If you're not really trying it, then and you tell people, oh, well, this is what you should do, and then turns out they say, that doesn't actually work in the real world, then...
Right.
that's problematic.
I think you, though, by nature, you like to try things. You were playing with a lens baby, so you took a lot of lens baby pictures. You did a great thing, which we used in a promotional video. As he's landing in Tasmania, you had the camera out, and you just kept shooting, right?
Yeah. It's like a time lapse, essentially.
You bet. You had several hundred images of the landing, and we did. Yeah. We put it into a video, and it was a great time lapse.
Yeah.
It was a clever idea.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's fun. You know, photography, I just absolutely love it. It's been an incredible privilege to have that as a career and something where I can just shoot pictures all the time and work with pictures and actually help people build tools.
Do you think playfulness is an important part of a photographer's agenda?
It's obviously with this other stuff I do, you know, the sort of structural stuff, there's a lot of discipline and structure and order in that, but and this is my talk at SPE later in the week in San Francisco, is about how creating a structure underpins the ability, you know, this foundation for you to then be creative on top of it. Mm. So understanding your craft and how the tools really work lets you more effortlessly try new things and experiment and hopefully be creative and
freeze
be successful. You know, sometimes failing, but some...
Yeah. Right. I mean, you've been doing photography for 30 years now, so how do you stay creative and inspired? And
It's... You know, one of the things that I found is that there are natural sort of rhythms to creativity that spread even over kind of years. You know, there are times when I just can't wait to just shoot every day. And then there are times when I'm not particularly interested in it for a while. And when I was younger, it used to really bug me.
Yeah.
I think all creativity, I'm losing it, you know?
I think it's so great to hear that, because I run into that all the time where I'm feeling like, why don't I want to go out and shoot? Like, I don't feel like it today. And then
Robert
I go through
Bly
ways where I'm like
that.
Dying to, like, I'm so excited. This is the best part of my life, is just going out to these shoots.
Yep. In Iron John, he talks about creative, and I think Joseph Campbell's also talking about this, creative cycles, where you're very creative and then you just have a downtime, and they call it ashes time, where you may not know it, but your brain is reorganizing. It's absorbing and thinking, and you just kind of lose interest, and you may be even a little depressed or whatever, and then so these cycles are normal, and then you get these great creative cycles, and they're normal parts of a creative process. And it is frustrating, isn't it, because you want to always be creating.
Yeah,
but we need these downtimes.
It's part of life. It's part of how my brain works. I ultimately figured that out after saying, oh, yeah, this thing's coming around again. Yeah, but I get it.
Mechanical's in our chat room. He says, I'm a musician. It happens to musicians, too.
Oh, yeah, and then writer's block.
Writers, same thing.
Yeah.
Sometimes writers, you do a 10,000-word day. Some days you can't write anything.
Yeah, and I think there's another thing that I've noticed, is that when you attain a goal and all of a sudden, or not even all of a sudden, you attain a goal and you are just steadily moving through that, eventually that can often lead to some kind of time of crisis where, you know, it was really hard to get to be somebody who could count on making a living as a photographer. That was really hard. That took a bunch of years. And then all of a sudden, I was, you know, and it wasn't like one day it was announced, oh, now you're making a living and you're going to, and then eventually it's like, oh, well, this is all, you know, I reached my goal. Is this
now
kind
what?
Of all there is to it?
Now what?
And then you got to have a new goal.
Yeah.
And I think that constant reinvention is a part of any creative endeavor. And I think it's an important part of
Did you ever have that as a goal, to become like the digital asset management guy, like the expert?
Yeah, that's really
like the
sad,
one
isn't
and
it?
Only.
This trouble.
I mean, the damn guy. That's me.
Yeah.
You know, just not even with the damn book, just with all of the stuff you've done with ASMP and World Press Photo, like you've continued that journey.
Yeah.
Was that an intentional thing? And
you know, I realized when
are you excited by data asset management?
You know, I have a mission statement that I'm working in the interest of the photographer and the photographic image. And I try and see all of that work within that context. And I realized when I first started working with Adobe that they were kind of looking at me saying, oh, well, you know how to do all this stuff. And I guess I do. And then, you know, wrote the book, and then that...
Now you have a damn show.
Yeah, well, and it's snowballed into all kinds of things. I get to talk to smart people like you guys. And
you're doing
to find out what's going on.
Did you do TWIP today? Or you?
we were laughing about that.
Yeah, no, that was a little bit of a typo.
You thought this was TWIP.
Yeah.
So,
which Frederick is going to...
Do you want to leave now?
Yeah.
We're sorry to disappoint you.
Welcome to TWIP, Peter. No, it's easily confused because we're TWIT.
Yeah.
And TWIP is produced next door, This Week in Photography. And it really was for a long time on the TWIT network. It's a sister product.
No, yeah. I think it's funny. I understand.
When I looked at it and I saw, okay, well, there's Frederick. Why is Catherine not here?
And we'll fix that in post.
I'll fix that. Yeah,
welcome to This Week in Tech's TWIT Photo.
Yeah.
See, no wonder you're confused.
Yeah.
I saw it in the back. I started laughing. And he goes, what? I'm like, you do realize the name of our show is not TWIP, right?
Yeah.
It's fine because there is TWIP. And
but
TWIP,
we love TWIP.
TWIP
so
is a great show. It's just a different
we'll
kind. It's more of a roundtable show. This show, we really like to focus on one person and just really talk to you as an artist about your creative process.
Yeah.
And you can see it's great. I think this is something that often the people we interview don't get to do. And sometimes they go kicking and screaming. Last week. It took a while for us to get our subject to warm up. He shall remain nameless.
Uh-huh.
But once he did, he really enjoyed talking about process.
Yeah.
Photographers don't think about process, I think.
Oh, yeah. I think they don't think about it a lot, which is probably why
we force you to.
Yeah. I enjoy sort of standing outside myself and trying to understand what it is that I'm doing. Yeah. And a lot of creativity really is... see your pants, you know, it feels good to do this way. And but I am more analytical and
that's a good thing
in my approach.
I'm way too creative.
Yeah. Which is a great way to be, you know.
Organic.
Yeah.
Go with the flow.
Yeah.
So as far as, you know, building the word we've talked about, you've kind of dedicated your life as sort of this expert in this sort of field. Can you just enlighten us on how important it is? Like, because I think people don't realize how important it is, and it's going to be 10 years, and then they're going to feel like it's too late because they have this images everywhere, unorganizable.
And while you're talking, just a word of warning, I'm going to show some of Peter's photos. And as you're talking, if you see a photo that you want to talk about, just let us know. But this is just kind of background to your...
So they don't have to just keep looking at us for the whole hour.
Yeah, that's pretty much the point, yes.
Okay.
Although they'll look at Catherine for hours on end, but... the rest of us, got to give you some relief.
So I'm sorry, you were asking.
I distracted you.
Just giving people the sort of inspiration that this is something that
like
they should do
now. It. Yeah, I mean,
and not think about like, oh, I'll just deal with that later.
Yeah, I think that it's, I think people put it off because it's hard and not because they don't think it's important. Everybody understands the idea that you could lose giant ton of, you know, digital photos or movies immediately. And
we try not to think about it that way.
You put it out of your mind. It's one of those things. If you know, when there's a problem that's hard to solve and you don't really know what to do about it, it's really easy to just say, I'm going to push that off to the side.
I'm an expert at that.
We all are
to some degree. Yeah.
So let's talk about some of these images. These are all from Africa, and they're just gorgeous images.
Yeah. This
so you took a bunch of them. Go ahead.
Yeah.
Where was this?
So this project was something that I did earlier. Well, right about 1 year ago, I was in Mozambique, and then I went to South Africa and was doing some work for a small NGO that has basically adopted this rural farming region and is working on health issues there, HIV and fetal alcohol syndrome awareness. And it was just a wonderful experience to go in and photograph these people. And they were all incredibly open and, you know, they all really wanted to have their picture made.
Isn't that neat?
And it was just incredibly rich visually.
So you came back with thousands of photos.
Yeah.
What's your process? So you take them off the compact flash, you put them on a hard drive?
So we're downloading in the field and backing up to multiple drives.
Okay. That's number one, as you're shooting every night.
Well, I was, I was over there for, 2 or 3 weeks.
Yeah, move them off on a multiple hard drive. So you have redundant hard drives.
Yeah, and then one would stay with me in the camera bag, or if we, left our stuff in a...
Right.
In a room somewhere.
Like me, all paranoid, carrying them around.
Well, a couple of weeks of work, you'd hate to lose it
right.
because
yeah.
someone nicked your bag.
Right. And I even do that when I'm checking the bags. One hard drive goes on check bag, one goes on carry-on.
Yeah.
So it's not paranoia. It's just
no. That's just
sensible.
Smart. That's just good.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you can. You know, it would have been great in the film world if you could. You
know? That was so just when I used to travel with film, it was I would lose sleep over it.
Yeah, you going know, through X-ray.
Yeah,
and, you know,
just
is
all
it
you got.
Yeah.
So, at what point do you start looking at your images? Do you wait till you get home, or are you doing it as you're shooting?
You know, we shot a ton on that project in the field in a very short period of time, and actually we were doing we were making a movie. Really, was kind of the big thing we were doing, as well as these still photos. And so we were, there was no time to look as we were going. It really was shoot it, download it, make sure it's all backed up and ready to go.
Right.
And
so you take it home.
Take it home. And
now what?
Well, so in this case, you know, they had come to me and they said, we need to get our message out. And when I finally figured out what it is these guys do, I said, well, what you really need is a movie. And these photos will be important and we'll use them in the movie, but we need to tell this story with a movie. So that's the main project I was doing was create a video.
So you're a Nikon shooter.
I am.
So you had a
D7000.
A D7000 and used that for video as well as stills.
Yeah. And just in a little kit, you know, this is the whole thing was in a small camera bag. The audio,
the
microphones, the two bodies and, you know, set of lenses.
Yeah.
The only thing that didn't fit in the bag was a tripod, and it was all available light.
Are you treating the video you're shooting differently than the stills, or because now Photoshop will handle both?
Yeah, I use Premiere as my post production, so I really those had a whole separate pipeline.
They did, yeah.
And
will that change now in Lightroom 4? Now that it handles video?
Well, if you're recording dual system, so you have a audio going to a Zoom or a handheld recorder,
you need Premiere.
Then you need and actually that's where Expression Media was really great because it handles audio files, and that's not something that the photo applications are going to do for you either at all or very well.
Right.
And but yeah, so that those got split up. The video went its way. I created the video, and then once we were happy with the cut, dropped all the images in. In the meantime, we found that there were a couple other uses for the photos to create prints to tell the story in a very kind of immediate, tactile way, and then a book that tells the story in sort of a more linear form, and you know, a print-on-demand book. And so it's been a lot of editing and putting everything together, and there were 5,000 photos and several hours.
We're going to take a break. We're talking to Peter Krogh, K-R-O-G-H, peterkrogh.com, if you want to see. I mean, there's actually a lot of websites to go to because there's also the Damn Book website. There is, let's see, I'm going to pull these up here just as we talk about them, which is thedambook.com. And then he mentioned, is it Sutha?
Shuta.
Shuta.
Which is Zulu slang for taking a picture.
Oh, I love
which
it.
Which is why we came up with that name.
Shuta.
And it's full Lightroom workflow. It's Lightroom 3 based.
I can't believe you're giving that away.
Well, World Press Photo paid for the creation of this. There's also some great movie
how to sell
in here.
Courses on the business of photography.
Yeah, all that stuff at the top is business stuff to tell people in the developing world how the media markets work in the rest of the world.
Very interesting.
The goal is to get photographers on the ground that live in those places and are from there to shoot and sell their pictures and
tell their own story. That is the focus. So there's things like NGO, non-governmental organization assignments. But I think somebody like me who doesn't know any of this stuff would also find this useful.
Yeah, it you know, for someone who wants to learn how to sell pictures, it's a a basic or actually pretty thorough, but a start from the beginning instruction on how the market for images and media writing, even also how that all works.
And I love the description, not of the third world or the developing nations, but of the majority world.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The 99%.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, well, it's not, maybe not 99%, but it's
70.
But it's, And that's been an eye opener.
I like that.
Working on
all these courses.
Yeah, those are applicable to any level. I mean, there's things like how to get images straight from Lightroom onto Facebook, and so there's a lot of stuff on there.
That's easy in the new Lightroom.
I know.
Love it.
Yeah.
You just hook up your Facebook account, and boom.
Yep.
Flickr, Facebook, SmugMug works.
And then there's anybody can write a plugin using those APIs, and so you have.
Yeah, I would say if you're using
Photo Shelter and
what is it? What is Apple's proprietary
Aperture?
No, I mean sorry, not proprietary, but their iPhoto. Anyone that's using iPhoto and that loves photography, get Lightroom or Aperture.
Yeah, that's the next step.
Yeah, you know,
Aperture
like,
might be more intuitive because it's kind of.
I don't know. I think Lightroom's a lot more intuitive.
You know, it's one of those things. You
just try it.
It's like you open up the box and you see.
There's 30-day free trials for both. So just so try them both.
I would try them both.
But you have to commit because your workflow is now your at least your.
It's like Canon
your storage.
Or Nikon. You're in.
Yeah,
you're in.
Yeah,
but I think that's really important because I think a lot of people use the iPhoto stuff, and it's fine for like doing slideshows and whatever. But it's very, very limiting. And I think, you know, if you're into photography and you're really building these massive libraries of images, going into Lightroom, it's $80. It's going to make your life a lot better.
Yeah.
Also, he's on Twitter, Peter Krogh on Twitter, so you must follow him. I've been following him for a long time.
Is it $80 for the update or $80 for the? I don't want to misquote.
That is the upgrade price.
$149
is the new list.
So they cut the list from $300 to $149, and the upgrade down to $80. It's not as big a cut. I think the upgrade was in that ballpark anyway. But it's great to get started.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You can download the fully functional 30-day
version. And I am sure you agree that anybody who is getting into photography ought to have a place of their own on the net that they can share. That we've got peterkrogh.com, catherinehall.net, Leoville, and I'm moving Leoville to Squarespace, by the way. I'm done with WordPress, and I'm so excited about the new Squarespace 6. Let's talk a little bit about that, and then we'll have more with Peter Krogh. Squarespace, everything you need to create an amazing website. You start with their amazing templates. There are 13 new template redesigns, 85 new style options, 2 brand new templates to add to the 60-plus styles they already had. They've got iPhone, iPad, and Android apps that make it easy for you to post, moderate comments, check your stats. And did I mention stats? Wow! You'll know more about the people who visit your site than ever before, including what things they're looking at, what things they're not looking at. And if you want to optimize for Google, they've got great SEO modules built in, sitemaps and all of that, form building, data collection. And all of this built on top of the best hosting in the business. A Squarespace site never goes down. I can say that. I love Squarespace. I've been having so much fun moving Leoville over there. I think you'll love it too. And here's the deal. Try it for free. You don't need an offer code. You don't need a credit card. You need 3 things. A name for your site, a password for your site, and an email address if you forget your password. That's it. For 2 weeks, you get full access to all of the Squarespace tools. No limitations. It's a great way to design a site for somebody who doesn't have a site. You want to say, hey, you know, let me just show you what I can do. And you can give them the keys and say it's yours if you want to keep it. 14 days absolutely free. If you decide to buy, that's when we want you to use our offer code TWITPHOTO3, TWITPHOTO and the number 3 for March. That'll give you, or 30% off for 3 months. That's what the 3 could stand for. It'll give you 30% off for the first 3 months of your new Squarespace account. If you haven't, even if you have an existing website, as I do on WordPress, I'm just tired of managing it, tired of the security issues. I just want to have somebody to manage my hosting for me. Squarespace. Squarespace.com. The secret behind exceptional websites.
Do you know how the proof that I don't have a Squarespace site?
Is it down right now? What?
That's pretty much it. It's down a lot.
Yeah.
It's down a lot.
Yeah.
And it's really frustrating getting it back and really expensive getting it back up.
Squarespace, $12 a month.
Custom websites are so 1999.
Would you try it? I know.
I have it. Model release. Top model release.
Oh, is that what you're using for the new model release? Is that out yet, by the way?
It's coming out early April.
Web address?
Topmodelrelease.com. And people can put in their email address to be informed.
We talked about this last week, but I want everybody to know that this is the new Catherine Hall application. This is something I need. It goes in your iPhone or your iPad, and it will give you a release that they can sign on the device. And lawyer approved.
Yes, lawyer approved. And wouldn't you love to have this in Africa? Yeah. So Trish and I worked on this together.
It's
and
a it great was, idea.
Yeah, it's our baby, and I'm really excited for it
cool.
to launch.
And it's Getty compatible, so if you use a stock photo agency or that kind of thing. So topmodelrelease.com. And that's a Squarespace site. Look how nice the fonts
look.
And
we haven't actually built the site.
It takes 3 seconds.
This was just the filler until we've had the chance to build the site. This is like a couple hours to just throw something up.
And they do the Google. You get 300 fonts. These are real. This is real text, even though it looks like it would be a GIF because it's using these new Google fonts. And 300 fonts you get. That is so sweet to get great looking sites that don't look like, you know, a traditional website. Nicely done.
Yeah, and someone in the chat room said Drupal is, they hate Drupal.
Well, don't, you know, Twit's going to stay on Drupal because our whole workflow is going to be based on Drupal.
So
but you need to be, are you running on Drupal? Is
yes.
that what?
That's well, what your own website is built on.
Yeah.
I think it was,
yeah.
might have been a little overkill on that one.
Yeah, I think so.
It is overkill for something simple. But, we need it for Twit because our whole workflow, we spend
I'm moving my portfolio sites.
If you only knew how much we spend on web development,
I can take a guess based on what I've invested, and we won't go there.
Six figures, let's just put it that way.
Yeah.
So Peter Krogh is our guest, K-R-O-G-H, Peter Krogh Photography at peterkrogh.com. Great images there and displaying all your different capabilities, including a chihuahua at the top. I like that. I like the chihuahua. I want to show
people.
I want to show this because this is fun. You did something on a bench. What's the bench story?
So this is a project that I've worked on for, I guess the first shoot was 1999, and this is
same
my,
bench.
My kids and my nieces and nephews, my brother and sister's kids.
Growing
and we've
up.
Been shooting them, yeah, so we're...
Oh, my goodness.
That is
like
so cool.
13 years of this.
You know,
like
I see things and I go, oh, I wish I'd thought of that 20 years ago, because I can't...
Yeah, but you could still do it now, and it would still be very cool.
I guess, if I started now. It's never, never too...
You don't sound very enthusiastic.
Well, I just feel like I missed, my daughter's 20. I missed it.
Yeah, but if you started the trend and your daughter continued it.
Maybe the grandchildren.
And then with the grandchildren.
Look at that.
See, I think it could be.
Wow. They're growing up right before our eyes.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
And I don't have the most recents in here. This year, actually, they did outgrow the bench.
Wait a minute. They turned into dogs.
So
they were two. They were out.
Those are the family dogs. Yeah.
I love it. So, I love it. So this is the most. That's not the most recent.
That's
you
not
have,
the most recent there,
of the set. Yeah.
But now, did you do this at a home? Because what if you move, or do you pick a public place?
Yeah, this is actually we have a family place that's up in the mountains.
That you're never going to leave.
You're never. Well, I had one of those homes, and I was promised it would never be
They're
sold.
Getting little
and they sold it.
I like going backwards. I bet you do too.
Yeah.
Sometimes you wish you could go back to those days.
But would you actually really go back if you?
No. I would in a heartbeat. Are you kidding?
You would rewind and have to go through it all again.
It was so much fun.
Yeah. They're great when they're
once
little.
They grow up, you
they're
realize.
Great when they're older, too.
But. Yeah, well, I haven't got to that stage yet. But I'm sure I will.
It will happen.
I'm sure I will.
You're in the teenager years. It's supposed to be that way.
Yeah, that. But that series, I think, photographs these days, it's so. People's lives are kind of photo streams, whether they're making it or consuming it. And I think that the context of multiple images and whether it's a sequence like out the window of the plane landing or whether it's a sequence of, the slow motion of these kids growing up or the multiple images or the video to tell the story in Africa, this concept that we have the ability now through these magical devices to see photographs, to put them together in interesting ways, it really does become about the stream of images.
That's a unique perspective because I often think it's photography is the opposite. You're freezing a moment in time.
Yeah.
You're stopping time. And what you're saying is the context and the stream of time is what you are interested in, aggregating those photos to look at things changing over time. That's
a
unique perspective.
In many ways, it's about the change of the capability of the machines that we have now, or of the medium itself. When it was very difficult to create a single image in a print, and there was a different valuation to a single image. Now, the fact that you can carry around on your phone, millions of images,
or
thousands and thousands of images.
Yeah.
It really, I think that context becomes more important. And then particularly for the new generation that is just, they just assume that they can shoot a picture, publish it worldwide for free instantly.
It's in their DNA.
Yeah.
It's a whole different relationship to the photograph.
So going on that, do you think that what's the future of photography? Are we in flux?
Yeah, oh, yeah, we're definitely in flux. Yeah, no doubt about that. I think that there's always going to be a need for professional image makers in certain areas, and then there's certain areas where you required a pro before, but you don't require it anymore. And so things just change. But you're never going to get the guy off Craigslist to go and shoot a picture of your CEO, because you can't take a chance that that guy from Craigslist is actually going to show up and not say something nasty to your CEO or whatever.
But what that tells you is professionalism is as important almost as technique and, and artistic vision. Is you got to be a pro.
Definitely.
Yeah.
And reputation.
Reputation.
Yeah. Or, you know, having a car and being available on a weekday.
You got to have a car.
And, you know, taking a shower, like those things.
Yeah. No, that's really true. Yeah. And that's something important for people who want to consider this as a career.
Yeah.
It isn't merely the making of the image. And that's what we focus on this show. We focus so much on the art of it and the image. But as a business person, and Peter's a really good example of somebody, and I see this a lot. In order to make a living as a photographer, you have to pull all the levers. You can't just say, "Nope, I'm."
Oh, yeah.
We've had some really good people on who've been. I am a Formula One photographer, or I do one thing, but most of the time, you got to do a lot of things. You got to have a broad skill set
without compromising what you.
Yeah.
Because you can't compromise. You don't want to do things that you don't want to do. Literally. You know.
It's well, you know, there's a lot then of different approaches. There's some people that
I don't. Anyway. I mean, one example.
It's great if you can find a thing you really want to do and make it pay.
Yes,
and that's that's the goal.
Tell us about these images. Are these infrared?
Those are not being displayed correctly.
Oh, I was going to say. I thought this was very innovative. Really interesting stuff.
Yeah, okay, so those are DNGs that are being...
Oh, it's a DNG.
DNG, all right, so we've opened the bag.
It's a DNG that was...
Should I open this in Lightroom? Would that solve?
Actually, if you opened it in Lightroom or Bridge in Camera Raw, that would work.
All okay. right, so DNG versus Raw. Bring it on.
Yeah, that's interesting that you choose DNG.
Well, I'd actually... I sent these to you in a hurry, and I actually meant to send JPEGs rather than DNGs.
But in your work, you don't store things in the native RAW. Nikon, it's what, NEF? For Canon, it's CR2. You convert it to the Adobe digital negative format.
Yeah. And
why?
It's a format that's developed to handle a lot of the issues surrounding RAW file processing and RAW file storage. And... I could geek out on that.
But you prefer it?
I prefer it. I think probably the most important thing to say about it is that it has the ability to preserve your intention on how you want the images to look.
Interesting.
Because it can bundle up all your
Now they look better.
Yeah, now they look like...
What is the keystroke to turn off the caption, though? I've hit some key.
I.
There you go. Nope.
It toggles through.
There we go. Yeah. Okay.
And
these are much better looking. These are your family?
Yeah, so this is these are actually old film images that I scanned.
Oh, interesting.
And
so you've retouched?
No retouching on these. These are all photographs of negatives.
There's the young Peter Krogh.
Yeah, with my Volkswagen camper.
Look at that. You had to have a Westphalia if you were going to be a photographer
I got two,
in those
actually.
Days.
Yeah.
I love
and the
it.
Kids love it too.
Yeah, sure. There they are in the top.
But this set of images is
that almost looks kind of like from Appalachia
up.
Almost. It's so interesting, doesn't it?
Well, that one, yeah.
That particular one.
So what camera were you using in the film days? What, is this an Nikon also?
I really loved the Contax G2 a 21mm lens.
I can see it's wide.
And
a
little optical viewfinder on top. And it was very, very non-threatening. As a camera, it was cute and small, and you could put it up into people's faces, and they, didn't feel intimidated.
This would be good for street photography, too.
Yeah, it was great for street photography.
Yeah, yeah. It doesn't scare people off.
I still haven't found the great digital to...
Well, if I could afford that Leica M9, that might be a good choice.
Yeah, I need autofocus.
Oh, it doesn't have... You have to hand focus it. That's right.
It's
got that little split circle doohickey.
And I've owned Leicas over the years, and I never was any good at it.
And I bought the X100, and that's not been the ideal.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought that might be my street photography.
Yeah.
But it just hasn't. It's not resonating.
No. You know what my new street photography device is?
What?
An iPad. It's so stupid looking.
Yeah.
It's so goofy.
Uh-huh.
That people just go, well, I don't know what he's doing, but it's nothing I should be threatened by. The guy's got a pad in his face. And yet, because you're seeing it full frame,
yeah,
it's like a view camera.
Yeah.
You know what you're getting.
Yeah.
All right. Just, okay, enough. I know I'm proselytizing a little too much.
So, I mean, these you have all these great images of your family. What about, tips for people that are just, they want to photograph their kids because they're obviously engaging with you.
Yeah.
They're not like, Dad, put away the
there's
camera.
There's the context.
You always put there's it, a nice
there's
have
the
it
context
out.
Yeah, there's with a nice 28 on it, probably.
Yeah.
You know, I think the... a great tip for photographing your kids is, I like to say, get wide and get
down. If you take naked pictures of them, not showing the boyfriend. Just, I've learned this lesson, by the way.
Shooting with a wide-angle lens and getting
down
into on your
it.
Kids' level.
Yeah.
You know,
all of these, that's one of the things I've noticed. You're
so
down
true.
There at eye
yeah. line. And when you say wide, what do you, what?
Well, I'm, you know, I really like look at sort that. Of 28 as kind of a long lens and wider than that. I really sort of like that. 17,
you think 28
18.
Millimeter is a long lens?
Yeah, I like that it's
wow,
you know,
so you're
17
really
millimeter
wide.
Or so up to, you know, 20.
Peter took some great 20s. Shots on the way to Tasmania on the floor. He put his wide-angle lens on, and you put the camera on the ground in the plane and got great
yeah.
images.
Yeah.
What I want to know is how come you remember more stuff from Tasmania than I
wasn't
do.
As drunk as everybody else.
Yeah,
no, I don't know. I'll tell you why. Seriously, it was a life-changing experience for me and my photography to meet people like you and Peter and Bruce and to watch really, and this, in fact, this show is the expression of that experience, that you can, that what's great about these artists is they'll talk about what they do and you can learn so much listening to them,
yeah.
looking at their pictures and having them talk about them. It was a life-changing experience. That's why I remember so much of it. And that's why
yeah.
we're doing this show today. I got to tell
it
you.
It is.
Yeah.
It is.
That's great.
Thank
yeah.
you,
and
Mikkel Ollen.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you, Mikkel.
Props to Mikkel.
Yeah. So more baby pictures.
Yeah.
Get down low. Get the butt shot. Right. Get right in
right
there.
Right in that crack.
I
shoot
love it.
Shoot
look at this.
Shoot it wide.
Oh my God,
now, did you
so
shoot
cute.
In black and white or did you process these black
these,
and white?
These were all negatives. And actually, I shot a ton back then. I was even bulk loading film just so that I could shoot as much as I wanted to.
Yeah, I remember that. You'd have a bag. And you'd buy a big
bulk loader.
And you'd have a bulk loader. Because
yeah.
it was a penny a shot if you did your
yeah.
own processing
yeah.
and you did your own roll.
Yeah, and I just shot like crazy. And a ton of this stuff never saw the light of day until I got this.
Oh, you just had the negatives.
Yeah, until I developed this hardware rig. And I've got some links for you on the
So how do you do
system.
That?
I'm basically re-photographing with a digital camera. And there's a bunch of different kinds of rigs you can use. But you just need something to hold the negative, something to hold the camera.
Much faster than trying to scan them.
Much faster.
But is it yeah. as good quality?
Yes.
If you do it with the right rig and the
yeah,
and everything's
good camera.
Just lined
yeah,
up. And
I,
a good
I did a presentation at the Smithsonian Photographers Information Network where we unrolled some 3-foot prints.
I think we have this somewhere here.
We looked at something from a Nikon 8000 film scanner, you know, desktop mm-hmm. scanner, compared to what we were getting out of a camera scan. And the camera scan was better.
Oh, wow.
Sharper
huh.
and far faster, you know, like between 10 and 100 times faster.
Yes, because you just put an image in.
It's really as fast as you can move
yeah.
the film through there. Yeah, if you go there on the flyout.
This is at dpbestflow.org.
Yeah, which is a good segue. This, yeah, there, and then the bottom node there is camera scanning.
Yeah.
And... this project was funded by the Library of Congress and administered by ASMP, the American Society of Media Photographers.
So you have a rig that is giving you a couple of things. First of all, you can light it evenly from both
yeah,
sides.
Yeah, and if you go down a little farther, there's a picture of the film scanning rigs farther down. So there's one of them.
So you're shining, there's the negative on the light.
Yeah, and then this one is actually a movie of me describing the different types of rigs. And
okay. So this is all at DP, all free.
All free.
I love it that you're giving all this away, Peter.
Yeah, well, ASMP
Thank you,
funded
ASMP.
This.
Yep. And Library of Congress.
Library of Congress funded the original site, then ASMP has funded this next iteration. I mean, these are all the different classes of devices that you can use, and I give some perspective on which are the best.
Okay.
And if people don't want to purchase them, is there a way?
I mean, you can definitely make it if you, you know, if you're
if you wanted to make it.
Yeah,
they could,
you know,
go on your
or you could find an old, you know, copy stand off of you know, Craigslist for $25 or something, and use that.
So it doesn't have to be an expensive endeavor.
You're shooting what we saw earlier; these negatives. then does Lightroom have a button that you push that turns it into a positive?
You can, yeah, you flip the curve upside down, and it turns it negative to positive.
That's so cool. And that's all?
And that's it. And then you have...
Well, that was easy.
It's like a magic darkroom, you know? Yeah.
And then you can dodge and burn. You really can do all the things that we did in the old days with our... Yeah.
And know, these movies right here...
show how to do it.
Yeah, the first one that's up... shows how to do a whole roll's worth, and then the second one does.
Let me stop this one because we're going to have...
Speaking of showing, let's pull it out. Let's pull out your...
Do you have it?
No, he has his computer, and he was going to go through some... I don't want to get to the end and us not have time.
That's a good point, because we are running close to the end of the show here.
Okay.
You got your...
Yeah,
or do you want to walk me through it? Because I have... Lightroom also. I'm all ready too, you know.
Yeah, now this
is... I really love the pictures of your kids. I think they're some of your best work.
Yeah, it's some
really
of my favorite
beautiful
stuff.
I'm just really impressed.
And that's actually a good point for somebody who's starting out. If you've got kids, this is a subject you love and love to take pictures of. So get down on the ground and take
pictures. Get wide.
And real wide.
And get real wide.
And you know, the thing is that there's a couple of things about wide. One is that... kids move a lot.
Right.
And if you have a longish lens, they move out of the plane
right
of focus
of
really fast.
Yeah.
But the other thing is if you're wide and if you're close like that, you're close enough to be having an actual interaction with them rather than being sort of hiding behind the camera.
Yeah, that's very
from a
true. They're
away.
Having that. Yeah. You lose that sort of connection.
So I have a couple of quick demos in Lightroom.
Great. Oh, I'm excited. This is great.
And... so this was these are pictures from Hope in South Africa, and let me just take you through this. When I first went through these pictures, I didn't really like this one all that much, because number one, DJ's in my shot over here, the other photographer I was working with. But then as I worked first to crop it, and then to work on the tonality of it. Let's have this set to... I'm going to do this in the older process version, which is what you'd see in Lightroom 3. And there's this fill light control that, particularly on dark skin, when you overdrive it, it gives you a really interesting look. Now it makes
I noticed all of your all of the Africa pictures had this look, and I was trying to... It almost looks HDR. You're really boosting the
mid-tones. Yeah, well, it really is here. So what's happening is... So overdriving the fill light makes it too saturated. So I'm pulling the saturation down.
Okay.
And I'm trying to make it look good on that screen up there, which is different what I'm seeing here.
Well, and our screens aren't... Do it on your screen. Because our screens
That's
are not calibrated.
That's not what people are going to see.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Good.
Do the best...
All right. So so overdriving the fill light opens up the shadows in this really great way.
So when you say overdrive, you mean like going beyond what you normally
Like you're not supposed to use it at 82.
Yeah, just like really pushing
yeah,
it.
Yeah, and blacks are typically not up at 51 like this, you know.
Yeah.
Normal.
How did you discover this? Did you just play with it?
Yeah, I was just playing with it. You know, so that's kind of what it looked like to begin with. But but then by opening up those shadows, it gives it almost kind of an illustration look. And then play with the saturation, play with the clarity. And clarity gives you enhanced local contrast. So instead of global contrast, everything light in the picture gets light and everything dark in the picture gets dark, it just enhances the contrast locally in a part of the scene. And there are these wonderful tools to add a vignette to the image so you can direct the viewer's eye in.
Oh, I have a question. So people say post-crop vignette. Don't use post-crop vignette. Why? Is there something about it that's negative?
I've never heard anybody say that.
I've heard that, and I was like,
So post-crop vignette is the one you should be using.
Yeah, that's what I use.
It's a more modern control.
Okay.
Let me amend that. If what you're trying to do is to correct for light fall off in a lens, like a wide-angle lens that just has light fall off, and you want to even it out, that's what the original vignette is for.
Got it.
But this post-crop vignette is now, it's under effects because it's about making an effect to make your images
look
good.
Well, I use it all the time, so.
Yeah. And there's, there's these other tools here. I'm going to take this down just a hair. And then his eyes are starting to get a little too dark. And then you can go in here into this brush tool and I have it racked up a little high. Let's enlarge a bit and then just do a little work to open up his eyes. And then after you've done that, you know, you can adjust how much
open you want it to be.
Yeah. And so you're burning and dodging.
Do you recommend
really wonderful control.
Doing it a lot and then pulling back so you can see exactly what you're doing?
So
when you're doing selective?
Yeah, if you do lots of little strokes, you can make your processor really slow down because each one is more calculations that it has to do. So in a perfect world, you'd lay down just one simple stroke and then use the slider to, you know, so I did there was I laid down this, you know, a relatively simple group of strokes, and then you can use the slider to you know, add and subtract and get it the way you want. Let's take a look at another one of these images. And so here's what it came in like.
Big difference.
And,
big
you know, the light was just, it was not particularly good light there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's also shot with a wide-angle lens, and this poor little guy's head is getting stretched out over here. You know, doing the same technique again. I'm going to go back to the
where is that? I didn't know you could do that. That's a nice little.
Well, that's in Lightroom 4. The new process version, and this gets real geeky, but the new process version here is one of the advantages that they've built in. It looks more like film,
right?
But for the effect that I'm going for in these, the 2010 version does a better job. So it's like having two different types of film, and you can choose which one you want to use in post-production.
Wow.
And so again, the same kind of thing. I'm going to up the fill light, up the blacks, pull the saturation down a bit, bring the clarity up, and let's bring a little more fill light up, and then throw a vignette on the thing. Pull that in, pull down the midpoint, and then increase the feather so that it's a smoother gradation.
You do this individually for each picture, or do you have an automation that you kind of do to all of them? Or?
You know, I get them sort of generally ready to proof. You know, I go through and pick and say, okay, these are the best of the shoot.
Yeah,
let's
that's
get
the first part of the process.
Right.
Is pick your favorites.
Yeah, do some starring, decide which ones to toss, ones that you really want to spend time on. And then as you get farther down the process, the you know great thing about this non-destructive image editing is that you can do some, and then farther down you say, oh, I need to do more. I need to make this better because now I'm going to print this in a book or we're going to put
this
it in
is the
movie.
One.
Yeah, this is the one.
Yeah.
But take a look at this. This is a neat thing that they've had, which is the ability to get rid of lens distortion.
Yeah, that is cool.
So there's a barrel distortion. So
especially for somebody who shoots wide a lot, this is an issue. Yeah.
Yeah. So it fixed what was happening, you know, if I click back and forth between
his head's
the two.
Squished. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
This makes such a difference.
So, you know, so this is what it started out with. And then after a little processing,
look at that.
I did a little burning and dodging.
And the sky looks so much better, too.
Yeah. And that actually has, let's see, go back to.
How often are you doing everything in Lightroom and just never going into Photoshop?
You know, a lot. And I go into Photoshop for sharpening or CMYK conversion of high-value images that are delivered to clients. I go in for major retouching and for compositing, HDR, or panorama stitching. But this tonal and color changes, I'm really doing most of it in Lightroom. And really like what it does. It's just fast and looks great.
Yeah.
So we actually have inadvertently covered two of your tips. One was to when shooting kids, get wide and get down, and you have the great wide and down shot of your daughter. And then the other one, which you just described and did for us, overdrive the fill light in Lightroom. That gives you a really nice effect.
Yeah, and that image also has it. You know, it gives it this real. It's a really wonderful effect on black skin, and particularly, actually, the water on their skin even more. It's just,
it does. It just pops, doesn't it?
Nice glow.
Yeah.
I think.
And then he is, after all, the author of the damn book.
Back your stuff up.
Yeah.
Yep.
Appropriately said.
I've quoted the 3-2-1 backup a million times. It really is the absolute thing everybody ought to do. Why this picture after to. Back your stuff up? Did you lose this
because
picture?
Because data loss is no picnic.
Nice.
Yeah. Pum-pum.
It worked. Yeah. We laughed. Yeah.
PeterKroeg.com, KROGH, at PeterKroeg on Twitter.
And can I just
plug.
Repeat the DP Best Flow website?
Which DPBestFlow.org. That's where 321 Backup is. That's where this whole thing on camera scanning is.
Yeah.
Great site.
And then a ton of information now that we've just released about movies.
This is getting updated.
So, yeah, it's actually, if you mouse over best practice, you see where it says new.
New.
Everything that's new is new.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah, so there's a ton of new material there about how digital video technology works, particularly for the still photographer.
This is great.
And this was funded by primarily ASMP, but also our friend Robert Edwards from the Australian Institute of Professional Photography, the AIPP, also put some funding in on this. And thank you to both of those groups.
A lot of great learning there.
Making that possible.
Let's not forget
Shuta.
Shuta for the training for professionals. And in particular, and this is what my assignment is tonight. I'm going to go home and watch the Lightroom Workflow Lesson Plan. All free. Walks you through it. And, you know, you could apply this to Aperture as well. But it's the ideas that are what really matter of what to do first, second, third in your workflow. And, of course, back it up.
Back it up.
Back it up. And do get the damn book if you want it. It's damn useful.
Yeah.
And there's
recently back in stock. It was...
Really?
It had sold out, and O'Reilly was a little slow to...
Damn them.
They did damn not notice that was happening.
Damnuseful.com. So. Well, you know what? I'm going to take credit because I plug this book all the time when we talk about backup.
That, Leo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And every photographer has this issue of how do you manage all of this stuff.
Yep.
It's a workflow issue. It's a backup issue. It's a whole lot of issues.
Yeah.
There's one other thing which I didn't put on there, which is hopeinsouthafrica.com, which is the organization I worked for. And if you go there, the movie that I did is on the front page.
Oh, great.
And so you can see the story. And you know, it's a great thing that still photographers now have this ability to do motion image storytelling.
I love that. Yeah.
And
we're going to work on Catherine because when she goes to Norway, she's going to be doing some motion image storytelling.
Yeah. Speaking of Norway, I'm very excited.
Nordic Light Festival coming up.
Pull up the...
Now, did Mikkel hook you up with that?
Of course. Mikkel is... Mr. Norway, right?
He's the man, right?
Yep.
The people going there, I'm blown away. I mean, you'll see. We'll put the speaker list, but... It's incredible how many legends are going to be there. And the thing that Mikkel says that's great about the festival is it's not like a typical, you know, conference or expo where a lot of things are being sold. And it's really a festival about learning photography. And
that's great.
Yeah, so.
NLE.NO is the site. And
like you can see, these are all speakers
Bruce is
that are
going to be there. Oh, that's exciting.
I can't.
Yeah,
I mean, the speaker list is just incredible.
Fantastic.
I'm also going to be at the Palm Springs Photo Festival, one of my very favorite
endeavors.
Yeah, I just love that.
How fun.
It's in 2 weeks in Palm Springs and going there for ASMP and going to speak about the DP Best Flow project. And I love what they've done with that. It's really a wonderful time to learn about photography. And anybody who can make it ought to make it.
Very good.
Yeah,
Peter, thank you so much.
Thanks
great
so
to
much,
see you
Peter.
Again.
Thanks
Let's go
for
to lunch.
Having me.
We'll have lunch. We'll talk. We thank you for being here. We do this show every Tuesday at 1:30 Pacific, 4:30 Eastern Time, 20:30 UTC on twit.tv. Watch live because then we can see in the chat room. We can go back and forth. Is there a digital version, asks F and Dunn of the damn book?
We are working on it right now.
Good.
Trying to get those issues sorted out between me and O'Reilly.
There you go.
Yeah.
Thanks for the question.
Yeah.
If you can't watch live, you can always watch after the fact because we make audio and video available at twit.tv and everywhere better podcasts are. Get the video, though, so you can see the pictures. Best thing to do would be subscribe. That way you get it each and every week. I guess that's all we have to say.
Yeah,
go to catherinehall.net. Who's next week?
We have Eleven D. I always say it wrong.
Eleven D.
Eleven D. It's going to be an exciting show.
Oh, boy.
I'm just going to leave it at that.
If you don't know what 11D is, you'll find out. 11D.
Dave and Will, we're going to have two people come in. Dave and Will, their team.
Neat.
And their work is very unique. And it's going to be a great show. We're going to brainstorm and do something special.
So. Hip stuff. Creative brainstorming next week on Twit Photo.
We're going bold.
We're going bold,
we're going
baby.
Crazy.
Thanks for joining us. We'll see you next time. Thank you, Catherine.
Thanks,
Thank you,
Leo.
Peter.
Thanks, Peter.
Join us next week.
Thanks, you guys,
Twit
for
Photo.
Joining us.
Bye-bye.